tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat, and you're very welcome back to Tip Today, 1800-938-007. Now, just in case you missed it this morning, we spoke to our great friends Mary and Joe in the first hour where we looked back at the pandemic. Let me just give you a little taste of what it is they had to say.
You know, I was very apprehensive about it in the beginning. And then as the country opened up, the shops opened, and we got little bits of freedom here and there, admitted easier, but... You see, as you said to Joe there, when you get to a certain age, like when you're 20, 30, 40, you don't give a shite what's coming, friend. Mm. You're free and easy. But when you get to a certain age, as you say, 2 years out of your life when you're 70 might as well be 2 years when you're heading for a 100 sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a feral chunk, isn't it?
It's an awful chunk, yeah. You know, but... You know, I think it made me, I'm sure Joe would agree, it made me appreciate life friend. You know, do the bucket list, go mad, do what your heart desires and check the brochures because they'll always be there, you know, at your age. You're old enough to have sense. Who gives a toss? We all have to go, friends, so make every day count. That's what I say, and that's what I intend doing from here on in.
And I'm delighted yes, Joe.
A different perspective on life.
It does, yeah.
To me, anyway. Yeah, definitely, 100%, mm. Mary. Before, I was a people pleaser to a certain degree.
Oh, me too.
Not now.
No.
But
What do you mean by that, Joe? That you would do what?
Unhappy.
I would try, yes, rather than, you know, if somebody was saying something and I disagreed or whatever, rather than cause conflict or... I hate arguments. I hate all that.
Yeah. And that's a good friend, Mary and Joe there. They kicked off the programme this morning at 9 o'clock. And don't forget, of course, we're here every single morning from 9 o'clock. Now, Tommy Fleming is appearing at the Clonmel Park Hotel on Sunday, the 6th of February. And ahead of that, I'm delighted to say that he's with us live in studio. Tommy, how are you?
I'm great, Fran. Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners. It's great to be here. It's great to be alive.
In a studio with real people.
In a studio with real people and just with something to look forward to. And just, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's happened, you know, and they're still giving out. But do you know what? We've had a tough 2 years. Yeah. Let's find the half full glass here and keep going.
We have to do that. Were you surprised at the speed of the decision too?
I was a bit surprised, to be honest with you. It's funny, my mother used to say, she had a great saying that, you know, when you're trying to do too much, she used to always say, it's like trying to keep the tide back with a sweeping brush. And...
Yeah,
we grew up by the sea, and I've just said now we're doing the opposite because instead of trying to we're trying to get the tide to come in because we opened up so quickly that people, you know what I mean, we'd advertised and everything before Christmas for the tour, but then it was cut and it was cut to 50%. Then 8 o'clock, we couldn't, and the whole thing, and so now we're kind of, I suppose we're almost begging for the people to come out and kind of come and see the shows. And
yeah, there was such uncertainty, I suppose, people tended to leave the decision to go to a show.
Absolutely, and right, and understandably, you know what I mean? Like, you know, somebody said to me, why aren't people getting tickets? Why? And I said, hang on a minute. And his name was John. And I said, John, would you buy a ticket at the moment?
Mm.
And he said, well, I suppose not. And I said, never expect somebody else to do something you won't.
What you wouldn't do, yeah, absolutely. And a very good point as well. And normally, I mean, when you have a gig happening in February, normally your tickets would be sold out at Christmas.
Absolutely.
It's not the case. There are tickets available.
There are tickets available. We were at, because we sold it to 50% capacity up to last Friday, so now we've got another 50% kind of...
To fill up
in about 2 weeks.
Very good. Right.
Please God.
And just in case we forget to mention it a couple of times, if you want to buy tickets for Tommy, he's at the Clonmel Park Hotel on the 6th of Feb, as we said, and it's 052-6188-700. And I'll give that out a couple of times if you want to grab a pen to book your tickets. You dealt with COVID remarkably well, sitting out in your Jeep singing songs, for God's sake. Tell me about that, because that took off madly, didn't it?
It did. The funny thing was, because, I mean, the first lockdown was a bit strange. It was unknown for everybody. Nobody knew what this was. What a lockdown was. It was kind of, there was a novelty to a degree, inverted commas. And I don't mean, I'm not kind of romanticising it by any manner of means. And then I just thought, look, you know, I had, you know, there was the 2 kilometre rule in the beginning. So I used to drive 2 kilometres to run 6 down to the beach. And then I had the dogs with me and stuff. And then, so I ended up clearing out the office one day. And Tina had a box of backing tracks with CDs. And she said, are these any good? And I said, I've no idea what's on them. I said, let me listen to them. So if I don't have some of them, I can digitise them and all that sort of stuff. So I started listening to them in the Jeep as I was going for the run to see what they were. And one of them was The Voyage. That was my first Jeep tune. And I videoed it because the dog was in the back and it was all, the dog was nearly swaying to the music. And I kind of did it as a kind of bit of fun and just to check in. And that night, that video had reached almost 500,000 views. So the next thing I said, I'll do one tomorrow. So I kept going through the CDs and I kept doing them. So in the end, I ran out of tracks. And I was taking songs. I was taking tracks from a karaoke website.
No way.
People were sending in requests. and some of the requests were mad. And what it did actually, in fairness, Fran, what it did was give me huge purpose. Because the night before, I would find the track. And that meant I had to learn the song the night before and have it learned for the morning. I went on the beach, had the run, warmed up and got into the Jeep and did the song. And I had to learn it. Do you know what I mean? So it was... That's when I did. I remember doing This Is the Moment, which I'd never done in my life. My sister deliberately pushed me to the pin of my collar because she begged me to do The Way We Were by Barbara Streisand.
What a song, yeah.
What a song. So I never knew the song, so I had to learn that. So it was a bit of crack.
Yeah.
And there was great, there was lovely comments coming in. And there was a few nasty ones as well, which I don't pay attention to that.
Was there?
There was, yeah. Honestly, I've got to the point in my life, Fran, where I genuinely, it's not that I don't care. I just, if you have nothing nice to say, don't bother saying anything at all. So if I see something like that coming in, it's delete and block. Do you know what I mean? I don't engage and I can't be bothered. But do you know what? It was just, it was a bit of fun and it connected. And,
of course, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And people... People stayed in touch. I stayed in touch with them. And
did you get other people outside of the Tommy Fleming family of fans to interact with?
It was hilarious because I went from something like 30,000 followers on across platforms to like it tripled in like 2 weeks. And then I knew it was working and it was kind of... But it was. I didn't want it to kind of... grow legs and become something it wasn't because it was very organic. It was very, it wasn't planned. It wasn't a stunt.
Yes, yeah.
It kind of, well, I suppose it was a stunt, but it worked.
It worked.
And I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, as the days went by and the months went by, the weather improved. So, you know, the people were looking at the trees going green because through the sunroof of the Jeep. And then one day, like, there was no putting on a suit and getting dressed to do this. Do you know what I mean?
And the hair was long.
Oh, the hair was long. And then one day I came out of the sea. I had gone for a swim and a surf. And Teddy was with me, the dog, as usual, my sidekick. And I was talking to a few people. And somebody, one woman, Mary, down the road said, are you doing a Jeep tune today, Tommy? I said, I'd probably do one on the way home. And I had my wetsuit on me. So I did it with my wetsuit on me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I just didn't care. I can't help
having a techie head on me to say, how did you manage to get the sound so great? Like, because the balance was perfect.
Honestly, there was nothing done. I just put the phone up. And then just the
from the stereo,
and what was hilarious was I started to get really technical in the end because I was able to. I'd learned to do a load of stuff over lockdown, so I was kind of able to video in different places and then edit it all together for the one video. I was becoming very Steven Spielberg on that one. But no, there was no kind of mixing or anything like that done. I put the phone up and that was it. And then what I would do is I'd edit it a little bit in iMovie and stuff like that. Yeah. People are listening to this going, what in the name of God are they on about?
Yeah. But I just thought it was all fascinating and it took off so well. An album, of course, as well. How did you manage that?
The album was done from April through to August of last year.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of it. This is where the technical stuff came in. I learned how to use GarageBand and all these kind of programs.
Yeah.
So Connell, my MD and producer, would send down stuff to me via on the line. I would record it in the garage, send it back to him, and we would do all the demos that way online. And then we got into the studio finally in the summer when a lot of restrictions lifted, and we recorded the album. And everything was done remotely. And I suppose when I say remotely, for example, I had I did one a song from a really great friend of mine from Sydney called Hugh Scott Murray, called I'm Watching Over You, and he and his wife Grace did the backing vocals on it, and they did it in Sydney, and that was just sent down to me.
Isn't
it? It's amazing. Elaine Page joined me for a duet of Why Worry, and she recorded in London, and we did it on Zoom, and I was recording in Dublin, and. You know, it was like, I was delighted because I was able to say straight up what I thought because I wasn't in front of her. If there was something going wrong, you know. But so it was, there was a lot. And like even Marusha, an opera singer in Brisbane, did her duet for me in Brisbane. And so it was an album that I didn't leave Ireland and it was recorded all over the world.
Isn't it incredible? But it opens up the whole world, all this technology. Listen, you have a real treat for us because you're going to sing live.
I'm going to sing live.
It's a disgrace to ask a singer to sing before 12 noon.
It could be awful. I was warming up in the famous Jeep coming in. It could be awful. But I've got my tea here, right. So I'll be...
And just to explain to Liz, we're going to play a backing track because with COVID restrictions still in place and stuff, we can't
This could go all wrong, you know, Pat.
I'm more nervous than you are here. What are you going to do?
I'm going to do a song that I co-wrote for a show called Paddy. I played the lead in it from 15 to 2017. And I loved being part of it. It was kind of, I had the actor hat on me at that time. But there was a scene in the show where one of the characters, Paddy, was very ill and passing away, and there was no music for it. So I co-wrote a song for that part of the show, and it's kind of, a lot of people have come back to me about this song with everything that has gone on in the last 2 years. I just think, you know, people, restrictions are lifted and all of that. But a lot of people, there was a lot of loss. And, you know, not just loss of health, loss of careers, loss of jobs, but loss of life mainly. Yeah. And that's really, we can't forget that. And that's what this song kind of represents to me in some way.
It's called?
Goodbye, My Old Friend.
Okay, have a listen. This is Tommy live in studio.
Let's hope this works. Goodbye, my old friend. Your troubles are now over. Rest your weary bones. There's nothing left to do. Farewell, my old companion. You will be remembered, and as you leave this world, I thought the world of you. All that was in your heart, you carried on your shoulders. Mark of your old hand, it's embedded in the past. Let go of it all. There may be no tomorrow. The dreams inside your heart, they've all come true for me. Goodbye, my old friend. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. I'll guide you to the light. Your restless spirit. Goodbye, my old friend. to let you go now. You are the gentle breeze that light upon my way. I know you won't be far. You're that angel on my shoulder. So goodbye, my old friend. We'll meet again someday. Yes, goodbye, my old friend. We'll meet again someday.
Oh my, oh my. What a voice.
Thank you. Thanks for me. I was really worried about singing because I'm a bit croaky this morning.
Oh God, that was such a perfect vocal. I mean, do you realise the gift you have? This is coming from someone now who struggles to sing like five notes, and so I fully appreciate that. Is an amazing voice.
Thank you.
Effortless to you, like.
I don't know what to say to that.
No, but
thank you. Thanks very much for.
I mean, you're sitting a few yards from me, and it's so effortless to you.
I suppose what it's I kind of I don't know what to say. Thanks a million. I'm very hard. I don't like. I'm no good at patting myself on the back. If you know what I mean. I love doing what I do. There isn't a day that I don't sing, that I don't sit at the piano doing something. I suppose I've got to the stage in my life. I turned 50 in May, and I'm really enjoying my life. I'm really.
Are you?
Yeah. Really. You know, I haven't toured in nearly over two years, abroad or in Ireland. And you know, I loved being at home. I loved being in the garden. I loved growing really bad carrots.
simple stuff.
Wondering why are those carrots so crooked? all of those things.
Yes.
I loved. You know, like I'm dying to get home today, because one of my big jobs is clearing out the greenhouse. And it's the simplest of things, and I just love it. The garden. I declared war on moss in the garden in April.
You really have to get out more.
I do, yeah. And I won the battle in August, but they came back again in September.
And was that new to you to be?
No, garden? Not really.
No,
I grew up on a farm.
Yeah,
I was born and reared on a farm, and it's funny. I never wanted to be on one when I was a kid and teenager growing up, and yet now that I'm at, I suppose. Am I at the autumn of my life? I am, I think. If I was ever to retire, it'd be on a farm.
Would it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
I have an absolute love for animals. I have a love for nature. I have a love for all of that. And I'm like my dad in many ways. I love pottering outside and, you know, doing things and, you know.
I'd love to love that, but I'm afraid.
Oh, no, I love it.
I can't. Lots of people onto us about the beautiful singing, and it was just beautiful singing. By the way, I think, what sort of a personality are you? At the end of a song like that, now, as I say, if that was me that did that performance, I'd be running up and down telling people how wonderful I was. I mean, do you look back on stuff and say, oh, I don't know? You're one of those,
I'm
are
one
you?
Of those, yeah. Right. I am. Connell, my MD and producer, is one of my best mates as well. He kills me for it because I nitpick at everything. Maybe it's because, and I've done it all my life, and it's not control or anything like that. It's about, I know there's no such thing as perfect, but you can get almost close enough to it, you know. And my opinion has always been, if you're going to go to the trouble to do this, do it right.
Yes.
Unless I think it's right, it's not right.
Right. But you're hard on yourself.
I'm very hard on myself, yeah. Sometimes too much so.
Yeah. Does the voice hold up all of the time?
Not all of the time.
Not
no,
all of the
I'm
time,
not.
Huh?
I'm not. I'm human. There's times that when I was younger, I was, as my father said, I was a whore for the party.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I could get away with it then. I used to smoke many, many years ago when I was in my early 20s. Haven't done that in a long time. I don't really, if I'm on a tour, there's a lot of things I don't do. There's no dairy, there's no alcohol, there's no going out late at night.
Go on.
And yeah, because if the voice is gone, the whole thing is gone.
Of course it is.
You know, so I have to protect it. And it happened to me in Sydney. 2013. I got off the flight. I woke up the next morning and I had strep throat. And I thought, right, I have 4 weeks of this to go. And I still, every time I went into a clinic to get different antibiotics or whatever I needed to get, they were giving me the wrong ones, which I was allergic to.
Oh, Lord.
And I didn't realise I was. And I was 4 weeks and I still, the infection hadn't cleared. So when I finally got home, I'd gone through 4 weeks of a tour with an infected throat.
Oh, my God.
It was hell on earth. But do you know what? It taught me a lot of lessons. And that basically, do you know, it was... So I was laughing because I was gargling with salt and water before I'd go on stage trying to, and now there was loads of things, and you know what the main cause was, stress, because the worse I thought I was getting, the more stressed I became. So if I actually just said let go and let God, as they say, I would have been all right. It would have been, and I used to get just wound up over the littlest, the smallest of things. Now I've kind of got to the point in my life that I go,
the hell with it.
The hell with it, you know.
The hell with it, indeed. Would you sing, everybody wants you to sing another one, and they also want the number for tickets. It's 052-6188-700. That's 052-6188-700, and Tommy appearing at the Clonmel Park on Sunday the 6th of Feb, and there's some tickets left.
There's some tickets left. Please come out and support it. I'm terrified going back on the road this time. I'm terrified of walking on to about four claps.
There's no danger of that. You always get a great welcome, actually, in Tipperary.
Tip has always been, more than yourselves, the Clonmel Park has been brilliant. We've had some brilliant nights in it. It used to be the start of a tour for a good few years. And that's just been, do you know what I mean? I'm delighted to be back, Fran, and whatever it is, do you know what I mean? Mm. And it's just great. You know, it's great to be back.
That's great. Will you do me a favour? Will you say hello to Judy Hickey out there? Judy lives near the Rock of Cashel, and she's an old neighbour of ours as well. And she just loves Tommy Fleming, and she thinks you're very special.
Hiya, Judy. Hope everything's good with you, and that the new the lifting of restrictions are suiting you well, and... stay safe. Stay well.
Very good. All the Heffernan family onto us as well. And the late Dennis Heffernan was a huge fan of yours. He was a singer himself. He just loved you to bits. Will you do something else first? What will you do?
I will. I mentioned one earlier on, which was the song by my great mate, Hugh Scott Murray in Sydney. And Hugh and I have worked together on loads of different shows. And he's a real Aussie. He's a real... For want of a picture, what do you call him? A Crocodile Dundee without the hat and the knife and all that. Just picture the character. That's Huey. Nothing.
He's the real thing, isn't he?
He's just nothing. He lives on a farm out in western New South Wales. And I go out when we're working in Australia, I go out to him for a few days and you end up on horseback, which I was never any good at, rounding up sheep and doing things you'd never have done. And you come back smelling of wool and... sheep and worse. But you know, it's absolutely brilliant. And like, I came back one day from working with him and I said, Jesus, I'm covered in, and he says, I says, have a dip in the creek, you'd be grand. So I was like, okay. And what's in the creek that might kill me as well?
And did you?
I did, of course, yeah.
God,
loved that kind of thing. But yeah, so anyway, sorry, I'm diverting off the
no
story.
At all.
I was doing a tour in Australia in 2014 and Huey was on the tour, and up 4 o'clock in the morning one at the end of a tour he got up and played this song and I loved it, and I had got it in 2014 and I only recorded it this year. But again, it's Huey wrote this after his father died, a tribute to the nurses that took care of him, and I just thought when I listened to it now it makes more sense to me now than it did in 2014.
Yeah.
So it's very much a pre-pandemic song.
And it's called?
And it's called I'm Watching Over You. Under a sky of grey, and you're waiting to see a shade of blue. So take my hand. Now don't you be scared. The road is long, and I'm gonna walk beside you. And don't worry, rest your troubles on my shoulders. For a while, you can take your next step. Take them from my back steps, 'cause I'm watching over, I'm watching over you. And I heard you crying today, and it was the saddest sound. So take my hand. Now don't you be scared. The road's bound to be long, but I'm gonna walk beside you.
Beside you.
And don't worry, rest all those troubles on my shoulders. You can take your next steps, take them from my back steps, 'cause I'm watching over, I'm watching over you, watching over, I'm watching over you. Troubled mind, well, you just take your time, 'cause I'm watching over, I'm watching over you, I'm watching over, I'm watching over you.
Oh, it's a gorgeous song, isn't it?
Love that song.
Isn't it just gorgeous? Yeah.
Love it. And it's just, it fits into anything, any kind of, you know, if it's anybody's having any difficulty in any walk of life.
Yeah.
That's kind of where, you know, it's about, you know, that almost that, the physical touch of a hand on a shoulder to say, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and particularly throughout COVID, that was so important.
That was very, very important. To me, it was. And, you know, I've seen how with, you know, Tina's dad, who's in his mid-80s, you know, in the beginning, like, we used to do, we'd get the shopping for him, and, you know, we had to clean all the individually everything there was and leave it at the door. And it was, when I look back on it, it's, I look back on it with some sort of surrealism in that, did that really happen? You know, and, you know, if we're somewhat traumatised from it, can you imagine what that generation are from
it?
Oh,
incredible.
You know, but then
incredible.
Again, they're a lot more resilient than we think, or that we give them credit for, because I mean, they're the ones that came through war, they're the ones that came through, you know, the TB epidemic, the polio, you know, all of that. So it's not new to them, you know.
I presume it crossed your mind, and I don't mean to upset you in any way, but I presume it crossed your mind how your own parents, because you spoke to us about the death of your parents passing away on the same day, how they would have dealt with this, Tommy. I presume you would have thought about that, would you?
Most days.
Did you?
Yeah. I did something that I didn't do very much, which was I used to go and visit the grave a lot, which I didn't get comforted in going to the grave before that. And it's just that's the way it is with me. And the one thing I would have known was they would have been terrified. My father would have tried to pretend everything was all right and not to be worrying, but they would have been absolutely terrified.
Would they?
They would have been, yeah. And and us for them.
Yeah.
And I know this is probably an awful thing to say, but I don't mean it in a bad way. I was really glad that they weren't around for this.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that. And that sounds probably awful.
No, no,
but I'm
I can
honest.
Understand. Yeah.
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 And I just knew, you know, it would have been so terrifying for them. And the worst part of it would have been to have to cocoon, not see the grandkids, not see their own kids, not be able to go out and do, you know, the Friday night card game or any of that, and when that's all gone. And, you know, my My mom was great for going out and going on, and you know, she'd be at a card game, she'd be at whatever it might be. She was at it. And like, my father used to say, now excuse the language, please don't be annoyed, but my father used to say, that woman is like cow's shite, she's never off the road.
Oh, that's a great saying. I never heard that before.
She'd be gone every night of the week. So yeah. That's why I look back on it now and think it was. I'm glad they weren't here to have that fear.
Yeah, my
you know,
God.
And that would have been a fear that we couldn't alleviate for them.
Of course, yeah. Funnily enough, I knew that it would play a lot into your thinking during COVID. Can I ask you about the industry before I let you go, Tommy? I was wondering how resilient it would be, in fact, the music industry. It seems to be bouncing back. I mean,
I hope. We're a resilient lot, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we were the first to go, and I understood what happened. You know what I mean? I mean, I remember we were down in... when this happened, we were in Killarney and we were finishing the tour of 2020 and we had two nights to go. And this was on the 1st of March, end of February, 1st of March. And the first case arrived in Dublin. And Tina arrived up to the room in the Brehan Hotel and she said to me, "There's one of those corona cases has come in to Dublin." And I said, "This is the start of it." And I knew it. I said, "This is going to be 150 times worse than Foot and Mouth." And she said, "No, it'll be over in a few weeks." And I thought, I know it wouldn't. I knew in my heart and soul it wasn't going
Did
to be.
You?
Yeah. And I suppose what I knew was, because I worked with the likes of, I worked in Africa with Goal and seen things where that led, and that I, you know, you had to get out of the area basically, and that it was months before, maybe years before an area was clear of disease, you know. And I just knew there was something really not good about this, and it was worldwide. And that's, but the music industry stopped on the 12th of March, and it's only really returning. You know, we all kind of went online doing online gigs, and the government, in fairness, there's a lot of people giving out, but the government helped in many ways with grants to put those together and all that sort of stuff. So we just had to find a different avenue. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you can't go around the mountain, go over it. And if you can't go over it, then find a way through it. Do you know what I mean? So you just have to find different ways to do things. And that's how you have to... I mean, we entered a business. You had to be resilient to be in the business in the first place.
Yeah. That's very true.
Do you know what I mean?
God knows,
so
yeah.
So you had to... You don't go in with a thick skin, you develop one. And, you know, I was one of the really lucky ones because I've 30 years behind me in this, but there was musicians and artists that just had started out that had just bought PA systems and, you know, vans.
Invested in recordings.
And invested in recordings
things,
and then all of a sudden that's all stopped, you know. So I kind of, you know, if it all stopped for me tomorrow, I've had a great career. I've had a good time. I've had a you know, people have been very good to me. But it's the, you know, don't just come out and buy my tickets. There's artists that are coming up as well. And give them a chance.
Yeah.
Come out and buy their tickets, you know. Give them a shot at
and
it.
And that's the way to support the industry. Tommy, it was such a pleasure to
Thanks
have
a million
you in
for
studio.
Having
and,
me.
And a real treat just to have you singing just that close.
I feel like it was in a therapy session.
Oh, don't start about therapy sessions. Just to give that phone number again, it's 052-618-8700. 052-618-8700 for Tommy's gig. It's at the lovely Clonmel Park on Sunday the 6th of Feb.
Thanks, oh, you can Tommy. Get tickets on my website
of
either,
course,
TommyFleming.com. All details are on that.
Excellent. Look after yourself, Tommy.
I will. Listen, thanks for having me, as always, and look forward to be back.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, friend.
We'll take a break. Come back with more in just a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie. Tip FM.